Payback or Protection, Part 2, by Maria Fontaine.
To recap the points in Part 1 of this article, I'm going to repeat the last two paragraphs. We cannot fully understand, much less judge, someone else with our own understanding. It takes desperate prayer to let go of those feelings of anger at injustice. It takes faith to trust in Jesus' love and righteousness so much that we can know that the wrongs will eventually be made right by Him. Sometimes it is hard for us to grasp this truth in our own understanding, and we might balk at it. Why would we want anything good for people after all the evil they've done? We think it will make us feel better to make them suffer as payback for what they did, but does it really? I know from experience that it doesn't. However, I still had some questions. I'm simply sharing what has helped me to understand certain things. One question that I struggled with in the past was why I should have to forgive people who have done horrific things against humanity, so much harm to so many, both His children and others. I can understand why many might wonder this. We know that God forgives us all when we repent and turn to Him, but do I also need to forgive others who have done terrible things? What if I or a loved one was among those who suffered? I know that Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Clearly, I was missing something that Jesus understood. I had read these verses most of my life, but had passed over these points thinking they are too difficult to understand. Why would God not exact judgment on those doing wrong? Why would He keep blessing them with these things that they obviously didn't deserve? When I asked Jesus to make this simple and clear for me, He posed a question for me to ponder. The Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin, and that without faith it is impossible to please God. So, what are the effects of faith on your relationship with me compared to the effects of sin? The answer seemed simple enough. Faith brings us closer to God, into a deeper relationship with Him. Hebrews chapter 11 shows us that faith was what made the greats of the Bible able to stand strong, face virtually anything, and still keep trusting Him. So sin, which is the opposite of faith, would separate us from God. "Exactly," was His response. "Sin is you separating yourself from me. Whether the outward manifestation of sin is big or small, it has the same impact of you putting something in your life in a position of greater importance than me. Whether it's your pride or worldly possessions, or you're allowing reactions of anger and hatred toward others for their wrongdoings, these things separate you from me, the source of all life. The wages of sin is death, because sin separates you from me. That's why I came to you, died for you, rose from the dead for you, and provided the freely chosen gift of eternal life. My mercies are from everlasting to everlasting." Jesus sees the harm that sin brings. We who have received Him are not exempt from sinning and going astray just because we have received His gift. We still need His mercy renewed every morning. So whether it is one who is trapped in the darkness and needs Jesus to bring them to the light of salvation, or one who has already received Jesus but who has wandered away into the darkness and needs His light to guide them back to His fold, His love reaches out to offer each one whatever will eventually bring them to a complete relationship with Him, and through Him to the Father. So how can I react in anger, or by praying for judgment or condemnation on someone? Who knows, if I had endured what they have faced, without the upbringing of faith that I was blessed with, maybe I would have grown angry or bitter or vengeful, and I might have done terrible things too. When I look at things in this way, His admonition to love and pray for those who hate and persecute us begins to take on a deeper meaning. It's in His hands to judge those matters. When I pray for my enemies, I'm not praying for Jesus to prosper them in their wrongdoing. I'm placing them in His hands to do what He knows is best. The Bible even goes so far as to say, "To whom much has been forgiven, the same loves much." All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, all of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. His mercy and his forgiveness have saved me. How can I say that it cannot do the same for others? Only God knows each of us completely. How can I do less than place them in his hands? When I pray for them, I will ask for the same mercy and grace for them that he has bestowed on me. What greater prayer could we pray for them than to ask that he will somehow bring about his highest purpose? What greater blessing for them could we ask for than that they could be changed into a force for good for God? That prayer might take a lot of faith to pray at times, but what a tremendous victory could be gained as a result. Is there anything too hard for God? God can overcome the terrible things that might seem unforgivable or irreversible to us. He can overcome evil and wash away its damage. How? In my limited understanding of the fullness of God's love, I can't grasp how, but I know he can. We all need God's mercy and forgiveness. Without it, none of us would find our way through this life and into the eternity of all he wants us to have. The Bible explains how we came to love Jesus. It says that we love him because he first loved us. His love was exemplified in his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, and his sacrifice for us. We were all sin-sick, blind to the truth, deaf to the shepherd's voice, and lost in the darkness of this world. But he sacrificed himself to come to us, to offer us the answers to everything. How can we help others learn how to love him, unless we do our best to love them as he does? It's not easy for me to get past my natural mind. It takes his supernatural power and my yielding to God to let him guide my reactions. I feel anger at evil just like anyone else. But what Jesus calls us to do is to separate the sin from the sinner. We certainly should pray against the evil, but only God knows the future of the person who at this time is being used to perpetrate the wrongs. To do this required my letting Jesus' example and his Spirit have sway in my life and my reactions. That is what my relationship with Jesus and learning to become more like him is gradually developing me in this life. It's part of the new creature that I am becoming in him. I'm not saying that there won't be times of judgment for the wicked. I'm saying that those things are for God to determine. We don't know the whole picture, and there's no guarantee that our judgment would be righteous judgment. There may be times when we have to protect others from harm, when Jesus will tell us to stand up as he did against the money changers in the temple, or to manifest the role of the shepherd who is protecting the sheep. But the point I am making is how we should pray. Did Paul and Silas shout curses or prayers calling for judgment against those who beat them and threw them in prison? Or did they resort to something infinitely greater that gave the Lord an opportunity to show his power in even more outstanding ways? Instead of turning to anger and hatred, they turned to Jesus with praise and song. Evil isn't overcome by our attempts, in prayer or otherwise, at judgment or getting even, but by the power of God's Spirit. Getting to see retribution for wrongdoings feels like it will be right. But Jesus came to help us move beyond just the flesh, to something infinitely greater and more powerful. Something that, unlike the flesh and the carnal perspectives of this life, is eternal. So how should we pray? Yes, our prayers need to call for the protection of those in need or danger. We also need to fight in prayer against evil. But I believe we need to leave the judging of others in God's hands.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.